So good to us tonight. We thank the Lord for all that he has done for us. And we love the word of God. We appreciate God for his words tonight, and we want to look into the word of God tonight. And we hope that everybody's hungry and anxious and have your Bible. Hope that everybody loves God.
Amen.
You love God more than how you love yourself.
Yes.
More than how you love this world or anything. He's first in your life.
Amen.
You want to learn more about the Word of God. So you have your Bibles and you just settle down. And you look at the scriptures, you look at the word of God. And we thank God tonight that scripture tells us that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. See, there's a brightness that comes on your path, like thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's your walk with God, your path. And the word of God gives light.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ came to give us light. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Where is that in Matthew? Is it? The people that sat in darkness, to them is light sprang up. That's a prophecy in the Word of God, but also in the when Jesus began his ministry. Look at that, Matthew chapter 4. Read it. What it says, Matthew chapter 4. And verse 16 says, then chapter 4, verse 16, the people. What does verse 15 says? Yes. Look at verse 15. The land of Zebulun. Read it. The land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. 15, 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Now, this darkness didn't mean the sun, the natural sun, was not shining there. And they were just having a long night of darkness, and they couldn't do anything. They just sat there. But no, it was in their mind. It was spiritual darkness, no knowledge of God. They did not know God. When you're without understanding, when you without the knowledge of God, then your mind is in darkness. See, that's what happened to the angels that sin. He cast them down, and they're bound in chains of darkness. They're links of ignorance. They don't know anything more about God than when they fell. No new thing about God. There's no light shining. And the people here that were sitting in darkness, there was no revelation. There was no open vision of God. The word of God was precious in those days, in that there was no open vision. And they sat in spiritual darkness, the darkness of the mind. When you it's the entrance of the Word of God that gives light. The more of the understanding or knowledge of the Word of God that you have, is the more that you'll have spiritual light. You begin to understand more of God. The less that you have, you can know a lot about the world and nothing about God. See, you can have all knowledge, but unless you have the knowledge of God inside of you, your minds are darkened. So it says, the scripture also speaks about having the understanding darkened. We'll get to that, but he says, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. That was Jesus. He's a light of God. And he came. The Bible tells us that he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. They saw this great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, they were not moving. They stood still. They were not going anywhere in God. They sat in that darkness. You can be bound in chains of darkness until a word come your way, a word of deliverance, until light shine on your path. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You see, you need a ministry that can take you out of darkness, that can deliver you. You cannot deliver yourself. It's a ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Knowledge is light. For the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge. You see, knowledge is the oil of understanding. It's the light that shines in a dark place in our hearts. The dark place is right there in your mind, in your heart, right there inside. See, it's not the darkness that outside they were sitting, but it's inside. There was dark towards God. He said that which sat in, they were in the regions of the shadow, notice, of death. The regions of the shadow of death means that the satanic forces had power over them. See, and God had to send his son to deliver from death to life. They were in the region. They were dying out without a knowledge of God. The regions of the, if you're not hearing the word of God, you're in a region of the shadow of death, because death reigns. Satan is death. For by one man death came into the world. That's the death that Adam brought into the world. And the regions of the shadow of death. And light. What? That means light. Life. Understanding. Immortality. Eternal life. It sprang up. See? Something sprang up for them. In that God who shines out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So verse, is it 17? Says, from that time, Jesus, who? Jesus. Who was that light? Jesus. What's his name is? Jesus. Began to preach. That's light. And to say, repent. That's light. Repent, that means his message was to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, Jesus Christ is the kingdom. He's the king of the kingdom. And we are subjects of the kingdom. Okay, verse 18. And Jesus walking by the sea, then that's when he began to call his disciples. See, he began to find them. These they were in the darkness, but they were chosen from before the foundation of the world. So Jesus came unto his own. He came to find his sheep, and when he began to preach, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So here, when he began preaching, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishing. Now, they were not searching for God. Do you understand? They were in darkness. They were not looking for God. The next verse says that, and he said unto them, follow me. There's a word. There's a call. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And in verse 20, and they straightway, notice, Notice, so something touched them. They had a revelation because they were sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they followed me. And straightway, notice that, they didn't argue. They didn't say, well, I got to go home and give 2 weeks notice on my job. I got to go home and ask my mama or somebody, whoever it is. No, you notice that. What does that word say? And straightway, they left their nets. Do you know what the nets were? That was their job, their occupation. See, that's the call because they were chosen from the foundation of the world to be fishers of men. And they followed Jesus. They followed him. Not what they did. They followed him. And if you understand, once they began to follow him, they made a few mistakes, but they went on all to eternity. See, they followed him, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And look at the next verse. And they had no contacts with the first two, but notice the same spirit. And immediately, first it said straightway, then now it said immediately, they left their ship. They left their ship. You think about that. They left their ship and their father. And no, I couldn't do that. They left him with the net, mending it. They were working and they straightway left the net and follow him, follow Jesus. Do you know why? They saw the light. The people that sat in darkness, they saw the light and they followed Jesus. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogue. When he went into that synagogue, light sprang up. Light, and it was so bright that even evil spirits began to cry out. Devils had to go. Sickness and disease had to leave. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. That's the good news of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. He healed them all. Can you understand this light now? How bright this light began to shine into darkness. How men begin to see the hand of God, to see the Son of God work. Jesus Christ begin to work. And what was he doing? Driving back darkness, driving back the works of the devil. The Bible said he came to destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand what he was doing? Destroying the works of the devil. And 25, and there followed him. Do you see that? Spirit begin to draw. There followed him from where? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. There followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from the Capolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. They followed Jesus. And they were walking with Jesus, following Jesus Christ. And the message, the word, they were following him. Now this following Jesus, they follow the word that they heard.
Hallelujah.
Okay? The word began to enter into into their hearts. But you go back and it says the people that sat in darkness. Verse 16, isn't it? The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Now they saw a great light. You remember that light? That great light? That was the same light that shone on the road to Damascus that Paul saw. Remember we had that? That great light. He said to the king, I saw a great light, and I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That was what Paul saw. And is the light that shines, the same light that we are seeing in Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, that we had last week about this light that shines in darkness. Is it chapter 4? Chapter 4? Verse 6. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. All right, the people that sat in darkness, they saw light. Now, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, had shine in our hearts. Where does he shine?
In our hearts.
That's where you have that light in your heart, in your mind.
Amen.
Your spirit. It has to shine in your mind, in your heart,
and
to give. Notice something has to be given. To give the light of the knowledge. Notice the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where do you find it?
In the face
of Jesus Christ. See, when you look into the face of Jesus Christ, that's what you have. You have a light. And that light is the image of God. The image of God that is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. But here it says, he shined out of darkness. Out of darkness. Into our hearts. See, that's where God's working on. That's where the image of God is. That's where the new man is. That's the dwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit. In your heart. Okay? And that's where God dwells. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, he shines out of darkness into our hearts to give us the light or the understanding, the knowledge of the glory of God, so that we may be able to comprehend with all saints the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. See, God is working on the inside in your heart. He's not repairing that heart, but he's giving us a new heart. A spiritual. Okay? He's giving us a new heart. He doesn't take away the natural heart. That's not what we're talking about now. But it's a spiritual heart. The new man. An implanted nature. The nature of God that he gives us. And he has to give us a heart to know him. We were in Deuteronomy. Is it the 29th chapter? The other day, and we found out that God had not given them a heart to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 29, verse 4. 29:4 says that the Lord God had not yet the Lord. Notice here, they had seen all of the miracles. Remember, 10 miracles, plagues in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea parted. How God fed them with manna in the wilderness 40 years. But yet something was lacking. And they could not enter into the promised land. Why not? Because God, for it tells us, for God, yet the Lord, had not given given you a heart to perceive. And we find out that word perceive means understand. Or to see, or to know. They did not give them the heart means the eyes to see. The eyes of your understanding give you eyes to see the things of God. He did not open their understanding. He did not give them eyes so they could see the difference from the natural manna, that there was a greater manna to come. The bread from heaven. They could see the natural, but they could not see the spiritual, because they did not have, blessed are your eyes for the see and your ears for the hear. They did not have an understanding heart. God did not give them a heart to perceive, to understand, and eyes to see, and ears to hear. Wait, for how long? They never received it. They never came into that knowledge until this day. They didn't have it. They did not have it. They did not receive it. And they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, but they did not receive a heart to understand, ears to hear, and eyes to see. In 1 Corinthians, look at that. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let me see what verse. Verse 9. Yeah, go to verse 9. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. Well, I need to get up a little bit more. 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Follow that now. You don't understand this with man's wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Okay, underline that, because a lot of people try to reason out the things of God with the wisdom of men. I'm smart. I'm brilliant. I'm educated. I've got this. And that you don't figure out God that way. So you need to watch that, underline that, and go over it and get to know that. It's not that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, right? But your faith should stand in the power of God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout again. Howbeit, notice, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature in God, yet not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. All of that's going to come to naught. It doesn't mean you don't go to school and get knowledge and so on, but hold on to that very lightly and get the true knowledge. Amen. Amen. Jesus, amen. Don't rest your faith in that because you went to this college or this university or you've got this or you got a great job. That will all gone after a while. But verse 7, but what do we speak? Here's what you need to speak. So there's a different language. You have the tongues of men and of angels, but here's another language that you should speak. But we speak what? The wisdom of God, but this is in the mystery. So your natural education will not understand, and you'll try to figure it out, and you'll try to reason it out, and you say, well, I can't understand that, because you're using the human. You're using the natural man. Okay, he says that, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. So it's hidden. which God ordained when? Before the world unto our glory. I need to get that again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God, who did it? God. Which God ordained. See that little number, ordained, what it says? Ordained before the world. There's two ones. One by the world and one by ordained. Predetermined. Unto our glory. So God ordained a wisdom. Look at it. From predetermined, from before the foundation of the world for us. So Paul said, now we're not using the wisdom that comes from the Pharisees and the Sadducees or the religious group or whatever educational system to explain the mystery of God. But he says that we speak the mysteries of God or the wisdom of God in a mystery. So in other words now, unless God give you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear, Paul said, you're not going to understand what I'm saying. Because these I'm saying, it's a mystery hidden, and God has to give you a heart, an understanding, so you can perceive this or understand this mystery, which was ordained from before the foundation of the world. Are you following what the argument of Paul? So the next verse says, which none of the princes of this world knew. That's include natural human being and devils. Okay? They don't know. They said, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just like when you reject, a person reject God and reject the things of God. They're blinded. They don't have a heart to see. But if they had a eyes to see and ears to hear, they would not have done it. But they do it because they're blind. The heart is blind. There's a darkness, an ignorance. That's over it. A cloud. That's not something that was not taken. A veil, a cloud over their mind, over their heart, over their understanding, so they can't see. You remember Jesus said, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears. Peter and the disciples knew when Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some saw him as Jeremiah, good man, one of the prophets, but they didn't see him as the Son of God. Amen. But Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, but whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And right then, there was a revelation. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the anointed, the Son of the living God. And Jesus gave a little shout, maybe a big one. And blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh or the natural man, flesh and blood have not revealed this. You didn't learn this from men. You didn't learn this from higher learning school. But it says that flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. That means Peter was being taught of God. Because the scripture says, and they shall be taught of God. In other words, God has to teach you. Amen. So in verse 9, is it? But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither had it entered into the heart. Underline that. It has not entered into the heart of man. Notice, it has not entered into the heart of man. That's the natural man. He has not seen it. It has not entered into his heart, because God has not given to the natural man a heart to perceive the things of the Spirit. Because the natural man cannot perceive or understand the things of the Spirit of God. No. He has to be born again. He has to be born of the Spirit. Because he that is born of the flesh understand what belongs to the flesh, what belongs to the natural man. But it's he that is born of the Spirit that understand. So he says, eyes have not seen. Verse 9. Nor ears heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. All right, somebody says, see there? Eyes have not seen. But what you've got to understand is talking about the natural carnal man. Okay? The people that sat in darkness, they didn't see it. The ones that remained in darkness did not see it. But it's those that saw the great light. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And when that light appeared to them, like it appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he was not a Pharisee anymore. He was not after to destroy the Christian anymore. But it changed him. And he was changed, and what he was ordained of God for, from before the foundation of the world, now God began to bring him into that position. Said, eyes have not seen. And Paul could not see until the Lord reveals himself to him. And ears have not heard, neither had he entered into the hearts of men the things that God had prepared for them that love him, right? Or him that love him, God. But, look at this word. Big word, isn't it? But God. But who? But God. Notice, don't stop there. But God did something. God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He did not reveal it to the natural man. It's not the natural man. It's the new man. So the natural man cannot see the things of God. It was not revealed to him. But it's to the hidden man, the spiritual man. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea. Hallelujah. The deep things of God. Notice. For what man know it the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him. That's what you learn by your spirit, the spirit of man. Learn natural things. You become brilliant. Okay, same verse says, the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, there's another spirit. There's two spirits, one natural, that you cannot understand the things of God with. But there's another one. He says, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit gets into your spirit, his Spirit bears witness unto our spirit that we are sons of the living God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Hallelujah. the things that are freely given to us. What are freely given to us of God? What are freely given? The grace. Grace that that has everything. The things that are freely given. You cannot work for it. You never get good enough for it. The things that are freely given to us. We know them. We study them. We have them in our hearts. We have the love, grace, mercy, peace of God. Fruits of the Spirit, the joy. We've got all of these. Sanctification. Justification, redemption, glorification, the knowledge of the second advent. Hallelujah. We've got that. It's freely given. You can't buy it. You did not work for it. And it's in our hearts. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to see it. It's right now. These things are freely given to us. And God has to give us a heart to perceive. A heart to understand. Verse 13. Which things also we speak. Notice how you speak it. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. But which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teaches. How do you do it? Comparing. I like this. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Are you following now? So when you're talking to somebody and they're in the natural and they're comparing, trying to compare spiritual things with natural and using the natural to find out God, they're stuck. You can never do that. You have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things and natural things with natural things. Are you following?
Yes.
You cannot compare how to make a hamburger with the bread of life.
Amen.
You're in the natural world and you can only see sun, moon and the stars up there. But you cannot see the greater light. You cannot see the Son of God. The brighter light. Here's what it says. Bring me back to verse 14 now says, but the natural man, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You can talk to him, talk to her, all you want to. They won't receive it. All they're thinking about is the beans and the potatoes. Natural. That has to go. How? By faith. We speak by faith the mysteries of God. The things, the wisdom of God, the mystery. So the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are... Notice here, not only does he not receive it, but they are foolishness unto him. They said, oh, that church. Are you going to that church? Wife, are you praying? You know, and husband that don't believe, or wife, or kids that don't believe, or whoever don't believe, your friends, relatives. They don't believe, so they see you with the Bible and praying and going to church. They think something is wrong with you. Natural, because they've never been born again. In other words, it's a different world. It's a different dimension. While you're talking about the light, their mind is in darkness. In the regions. And until light spring up in that mind and in the heart, what you're saying to them is foolish. So that's why you have to let the Holy Spirit do it. And they're not going to change because they are your cousins or your uncle. It takes a revelation. Hallelujah. Come on. It takes a revelation of God, the Spirit of God. See, the The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. When you preach the word of God and people begin to kick and bite and complain and months after, they don't have any light in them. Paul said if they don't receive this message, it's because there's no light in them. That's the light that gives the knowledge of the glory of God that's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. But the spiritual man, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man or discerning. For who hath known? Somebody ought to shout. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who? But notice what we have. We have the mind of Christ. So you need that. You need that mind of Christ to be able to discern and understand the things of God. Go over quickly to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter. Chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11. What does it say? We have an inheritance. But I need to, for time, go down to 17, 18. Okay. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give, somebody shout, may give unto you. Remember, it's God who revealed them unto us. Eyes have not seen, but God revealed them unto us by Spirit. May give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Shout now. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us wards who believed, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in us, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far in the heavenly places. Far, help me, far above principalities, all principalities and powers, and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this world right now, but in that world which is to come, but also in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Look what you've got. Look what God has given you. That's what eyes have not seen. No, ears heard. But it's only revealed to those that are in the Spirit of God. So it shows you and take you over now and begin to show you some of your inheritance. He began to show the mystery the spiritual man, what God has prepared for them that love him, that know him. Verse, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, or his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then I need to go to chapter 3, Ephesians. Chapter 3, start at verse 18. You have that? Chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 17. You know, I like to go. That Christ. And you can read the whole verse, the whole chapter. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That he being rooted and grounded in the nature of God, the love of God, which is the nature of God, which is the image of God, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Why? Because your eyes have seen it. And you can perceive. You have your understanding enlightened. And to know, that's knowledge, the love of Christ, which passeth, this is shouting material, which passeth knowledge. This is a thank you, Jesus material. This is I love you, Jesus, right there. Because do you understand what we did tonight? We took it from the dark side over to the bright side. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And we've been following the light tonight because God is giving us our knowledge to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. That, now this is something to, this is revival material. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. In him are hid all the treasures of, somebody shout, of wisdom and knowledge, and we are complete in him. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that you can pray about, that you can request, that can come in your mind, anything above that. That we can ask, or not only that, but think. Read on. According to the power, that's the Holy Ghost. Power that's worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages. World. Hallelujah. World. Without him. Unto him be glory. That's why you lift up your hands and praise him and love him. Unto him be glory. And that's why John said, I saw a great multitude that nobody could number. They were saying blessings and honor and glory and power and majesty and dominion belong to him. Forever and ever. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. So you better begin your little amen now. And your little glory now. You don't start and you're late, nobody's even going to hear you. But tonight you have a chance. And when the saints go marching in, you will be able to say, I began my journey in the church. Unto him be glory. In the church right now. That's why you come alive. That's why you love God. That's why you turn and believe the Lord. You don't know what you're missing. You really don't know what you're missing. You really don't know. Eyes have not seen, and of course, you can turn on your own. Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66 tells you. That's where Paul said, as it's written. That's where eyes have not seen. But God reveals them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. And tonight you have that Holy Spirit in you that can take you deeper, wider, higher in Almighty God. Paul cried out, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, whom to know is life everlasting. Amen. Amen.